There's a common expression you may have heard. Familiarity breeds contempt. Basically, it's saying is sometimes you get so used to seeing something, you just take it for granted. We're guilty of that at the church sometimes. I think the last time you said the Lord's Prayer. Did you really listen to what you were saying, or is it just kind of coming, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Psalms 23 is kind of the same way. We say it over and over, every funeral, everything. You know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he restores my soul." And it's understandable, because we hear it so often that sometimes it just, we get so familiar with it, we don't really stop and pause and think about it. Think of the hymns we just sang. Anybody really remember what they just sang? Don't raise your hands. Psalms 23 is actually a beautiful, poignant psalm. There is some real meat in this. But we're guilty, myself included, of sometimes just hearing it so often, I don't really stop to think about it. And so I thought today, Pastor Jeremiah has the theme for August is "Fear Not." And I thought this was a good psalm to dig into, to break down and understand, talk a little bit about fearing not, and what God has to say to us in this passage. So let's break it down. You know, it starts, the very first thing, "The Lord is my shepherd." We talked a little bit about that in the children's sermon. The shepherd, as we said, knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Jesus said, check it out, John 10, verse 12 verses, he talks about, "I am the good shepherd, and the sheep know my voice, and I know them. And the good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. We are his sheep." Think about that concept. You know, Jesus actually talks in John about, you know, if you have a hired hand to watch your sheep, and a wolf or a bear comes along, there's like, "Have some mutton, boys. I'm out of here." If it's your sheep, you're going to stay and fight them off. And Jesus said, "These are my sheep. I'm not like a hired hand." And I love an analogy I read once about how Jesus sometimes works in our life and God works in our life, and it just makes no sense to us, but there's a purpose. And they were actually talking about sheep and shepherding. One of the things you have to do if you're a shepherd and you have sheep is a sheep once a year have to go through a process that's called sheep dipping. That's where they literally dunk the sheep in a vat of liquid, and the purpose is to cleanse the wool and actually kill all the parasites and insects that are embedded in that wool. And the way they do it, they get the sheep, you know, all rounded up in a bunch, and they start feeding them kind of down into a chute that funnels into the, so they're going one at a time. They go up this ramp, and right when they get to the top of the ramp, the shepherd, either if they're a ram, literally puts the staff through the horns and flips them upside down into the vat, or just grabs their head and literally tumbles them. They do literally a front flip, landed there. Now imagine you're the sheep. Here's the shepherd, my buddy. He's always taking care of me. Oh, I got to go this way. Maybe there's some food at the end of this. You know, and you get up there. Ooh, what a nice view. What the? It just happened here. You know, you come up sputtering and you have no idea. You're thinking, why did he do this to me? I thought he was my friend. And yet the shepherd knew this was good for the sheep. The sheep will never understand that. There's no way it's going to respond. Now listen, Fluffy, this is why we're doing this. You got this tick issue, and I'm trying to help you out. It can't happen. The sheep will never, ever, 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 ever understand what just happened. And yet, the shepherd did it because it was good for the sheep. And I think that happens in our lives sometimes too. Things happen to us, and I'm not saying everything that happens to us is good, and we're not going down that path. But there are times things happen in our lives that I do believe God lets happen because he has another purpose. And we may never, ever, 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 ever understand it any more than that sheep understands why he was suddenly coughing up sheep dip. But God is there. He is our shepherd. And he cares for us in the same way a shepherd cares and knows his sheep. Jesus cares and knows us. You know, this whole psalm, when you read the book of Psalms, you'll see, first off, most of them, or a bunch of them, over half, were written by David. Others were written by other authors. And if you read a lot of David's psalms, David's a bit of a whiner at times. "Oh, Lord, help me about this. Oh, my enemies are coming after me about this. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God." There is. I mean, really. And you know what? I don't blame them. Let's face it, a lot of our prayers are like that. Oh, Lord, that person at work is really a pain. Oh, Lord, this customer is hurting me this way. Oh, God, you know, Aunt Martha's sick. Oh, I'm not feeling well. And we all have those moments. Those are very real. David's just being real and saying, God, I've got these issues. And so a lot of his psalms are about, Lord, help me out of this trouble. And yet some of them are about comfort. Thank you, Lord. And Psalms 23 is a wonderful psalm about comfort. And of course, so we talked about, the Lord is my shepherd. We talked a little bit about how wonderful that is to have somebody that cares for us, that knows our voice, and we know his voice. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Well, that's pretty cool. Just like the shepherd takes care of the sheep, he provides everything they need. King James says, I shall not want. I will want for nothing. God will take care of my needs. He lets me rest in green meadows, or he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I read one commentary that I thought really had an interesting view on that. And his point was that when we are resting in God's arms, it's not always about God's just piled on us, just tons and tons of stuff, and life is all just woohoo. But he made the comment that when we are in the right communion with God, even when we have little, feels like a green pasture. And by the way, the flip side is true too. We may have all the Maseratis. How many people have Maseratis here? I'm not trying to offend the Maserati crowd. We may have all the Maseratis. We may have all the wealth in the world. But if we're not in communion with God, there is still something lacking, and that may feel like a dry desert. So lying in the green pastures or in the green meadows is not just about how much we have, but it's who we're with, and that Jesus can make any circumstance we're in feel like a green meadow because he is with us. He leads me beside the peaceful streams. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's a couple things there that's worth breaking down. He leadeth me. Now, here's the key to somebody leading you. You, and when I say you, I mean we have to follow. Jesus can do all the leading in the world. God can lead us all day long, but if we choose to go in the other direction, whose fault is that? So when you hear about somebody leading you, bear in mind, we have the responsibility to follow. And where does he take us? This is interesting, too. You know, you hear both peaceful streams and still waters. Still waters isn't stagnant. Still waters doesn't mean it's not moving at all, there's no end to it. If you've ever been rafting or canoeing or tubing, you know you're going down a creek and there's moving water that's still, and then there's the bubbly water that knows there's rocks and rapids. And what this is saying is Jesus leads us to the quiet places. It's still moving. It's still going in a direction. They're peaceful streams. It's calming places. Jesus wants to lead us to those places. And he renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where is he leading you? He's leading you on a path of righteousness. He's leading you to a plan that he's figured out for you and for your life and helping you down that path. And when it talks about restoring my soul or renewing my strength, he's also saying, and if you're getting tired, I'm here to help you out, buddy. And if you're wandering off on the wrong path, I'm here to restore you, to nudge you with my little sheep whacker back onto the right path. Because I got a path that I know is best for you. And if I can just keep you on that one, it's you're the one that keeps. By the way, these sermons are like directed to me, just so you know. God and I are like, please, do I have to say this? No. He's like, you're the one, Bruce, that's getting off the path. I want to restore you. I want to renew your strength. I want to get you back on the right path. And I love verse 4. This is an amazing verse. Circle this verse, underline it, highlight it, carve it in stone. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Or as King James says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. First word I want you to take away from that is, as I walk through the valley. You don't have to run. You don't have to be scared. You can just walk along. I grew up on the East Coast. In the 60s and the 70s, when I was growing up and I was in junior high, there was a lot of racial tension. Kind of brings back to earth what someone was talking about earlier in prayer time. And there were unsafe places to go. We actually had the National Guard shut down our high school and had to come in and break up the rioting one day. So this was some pretty serious stuff. And there are times it was scary to walk in certain places. But if I was with my 6'3", 250-pound brother, I was just a little more comfortable walking. I'm just telling you. And that's what Jesus is saying. I am close beside you. You can walk. You don't need to run. I got this. Fear not. The shepherd's got your back. Do you know what else that verse says? As I walk, what's the next word? Through the valley. I'm not stuck in it. I'm not there forever. I'm not mired in it. I'm going through. That gives us the hope to know this is just temporary. This is just a season of time. I don't know if it's an hour, a week, a month, or 10 years, but you're getting through. Jesus says, I'm going to get you through this. This is only part of the time. Just walk. I got this. And we're going through. And now you can choose either definition you want or either phrase. They both really apply. Whether you want to say through the darkest valley, we all hit dark times. We all hit rough spots. Jesus is going to see us through. But I think this also does refer to, and I will walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. Death can be scary. Oh my goodness, we think that's the end. What a transition. But Jesus says, wait a minute. I have been to death and back. I have been on the cross and I have died and I have gone to hell and I've come back from it. And I'm here to get you through that too. We don't need to be scared to death because it's just a transition we're going through. And Jesus said, I'm going to take you from this earth. I'm going to take you through death right into the arms of a loving heavenly Father who's going to welcome you there for eternity. So you don't need to fear death. Amen? Amen? You don't need to fear death because Jesus, the only one who ever went through and back, is there to walk beside us at that time and get us from this earth into eternity and into heavens and into the loving arms of the Father. Hallelujah. That to me is a powerful verse and a comfort to know we have a Savior who will get us there. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I love both those words. You know, there's the staff, the fierce warrior, that part of God, and there's the comfort, the nudge, just that little comfort that you know you're there. Have you ever seen a little baby or a kid that's a little scared and sometimes just reaches out to know daddy's there, and that's all he needed? Okay, you're there. I'm good. And that's what Jesus is for us. He's got this staff. Oh, he's got might. He's got power. I tell you what, I am a peaceful man, but somebody comes after my family, you are going to see the warrior king. And at the same time, when that's not in that, I'll be the first one like any daddy to hold and caress and hug. That's the Savior. That's the shepherd we have. That's who David is talking about. Your rod and your staff, they protect me and they comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. Or you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That's kind of odd. You got enemies and you're making lunch? But think about some of the words. First off, you prepare a table. This isn't you accidentally stumbled upon a bag lunch. God prepared it. That tells us this was intentional. This wasn't as the Greek aesthetics say, oh, we just left it up to the fates and this is what happened. God prepared. He thought through. He said, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? And I'm going to prepare it for you. And I'm going to do it in the most unlikeliest of places. It doesn't have to just be the perfect setting, the greatest dinner party, wherever you need it. Even in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to prepare it. I'm going to get it ready for you. I'll give you just what you need. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. In the days of Jesus' time and David's time, those thousands of years, if you were at a banquet and you were an honored guest, it was a common practice to anoint the most special person by pouring oil on their head to signify this is somebody special. And David didn't say, well, you pick out a few select of us and you anoint us with oil. Jesus is here to anoint every one of us because he says every single one of us is special and worthy of honor. How's that for a promise? My cup overflows with blessings. My cup runneth over. Isn't that neat that God gives us even more than we can use? He just gives us more. And what do you think he wants us to do with that? God blesses us with overflowing cups to teach us, to allow us to share those blessings with others. Is your cup not running over? Is it not overflowing? Here's a theory why maybe not. Maybe you've got your cup held so close to your chest and so tight to yourself. This is my cup. You ever see a three-year-old? Anybody see a three-year-old? This is my cup, my ball, my ball. How much fun is he having with my ball? He'd have a whole lot more fun if he threw my ball to Granddaddy or to little Tommy and they threw it back and forth. That's four times the fun. I mean, it's exponential than my ball. Do we do that with our cup sometimes? This is my cup. I got just enough. I'm holding it like this. You can't overflow a cup you're holding like this. Now, what if you held the cup out like this and the streams are pouring into it? Now, there's an opportunity for that cup to overflow. If we hold our material things, if we hold our blessings with an open, outstretched hand, God is ready to let that cup overflow as we share that with others. And God says, I'm giving to you because I know you're going to pass it on. Instead of my cup, my cup runneth over. My cup is filled with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Isn't that kind of a neat image? It's going to pursue me. It's going to follow me. It's like a hound on the scent. I'm going to find a hunter tracking his game. It's like that hungry old mangy dog that follows you home. It's coming, baby. It's going to stay right with you. And for how long? How long is God going to pursue you and follow you with goodness, with mercy, with blessings? How long? All the days of my life. Now, I work at Wall. Some of our products have a 90-day warranty. Some have a year, 3 years, and the very most, a 5-year warranty. How about all the days of my life? I like that warranty. Amen. Jesus said, I want to be your good shepherd and I'm going to pursue you all the days of your life. And it gets even better. And when I'm done with all the days of my life, I will live in the house of the Lord forever. That's longer than your life. I'm going to be in eternity forever with the loving God whose arms are outstretched saying, I'm ready to take you through the valley and be with me forever. Amen. Amen.